This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. You name it, no matter how taboo or depressing, a comedian will find a way to skewer it.
But climate change, it is a real big deal. And everyone says Mother Nature. And I do believe nature is a woman because she's trying to kill us in the most passive-aggressive way possible. It's not some sort of immediate fire or flood or a cool explosion. She's just like... What? I raised the temperature a little. Oh, are you uncomfortable? Well, maybe I wouldn't have if you'd taken out the recycling like I am. I'm fine.
That's Michelle Wolf from her HBO special, Nice Lady. As weather events become more extreme, it can be hard to make the fate of our planet funny. But writer Kasia Patel argues that comedy can be a useful way to understand, maybe even cope with Earth's bleak future. She covers climate change and the environment for The Washington Post, where she wrote about this for their Hidden Planet column. And Kasia is a stand-up comedian herself. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. Okay, so why did you include that Michelle Wolf bit in your article? What was it about what she said that strikes a chord with you?
Well, one, I thought it was very funny. And I also think she brings a pretty unique perspective to it because I think a lot of people are still trying to talk about climate change is real and give reasons for why it's real and, you know, perhaps even go against climate deniers in their joke. Whereas she, you know, at the very beginning, she says climate change is a real big deal and then just moves on from that, right? Like that's the given. And then she can actually talk about the more subtle ways that climate change is happening. And the fact that she pointed that out, that climate change isn't this big Nostradamus end of the world scenario, like, you know, you might see depicted on sci-fi movies. I thought that was really important of how she showed that.
Right. And like in general, the medicine goes down easier when you're laughing, right? I mean, you know both sides of this, right? Because you write serious articles about climate change, which, to be frank, not your articles, but the whole topic in general can be kind of eye-glazing and people don't want to read it. But they will watch a comedy special and laugh at a joke that Michelle Wolf tells.
Right. And the good thing also about her joke and all the comedians that I talk about in this article, they don't talk about it for their entire act necessarily. That's what you get with a lot of these mainstream comedians. Climate change has become such a regular part of people's everyday lives that it just becomes an observation. You know, it's just like what they talk about their dating life. They talk about the weather. They talk about, you know, climate change and what's going on because it's just become such a...
It's become normal.
Yeah.
Okay, let's play another bit. This is from Nate Bargatze from his Netflix special, The Tennessee Kid.
We recycle, you know, and we recycle because of my wife. It's her. She gets all the credit for that. I would never recycle. If I was by my, I don't do it if she's not looking at me. So I would never do it if I was alone. I looked up a list of like, all right, like what are you supposed to do for global warming as an individual? And it was a big long list. But the first thing on the list was my favorite. It just said, just talk to your friends and family about it. Think about your friends and family. Like not the ones that are the good ones close. Think about how far out it goes. Just when you guys get together, like, do you mind if we talk about global warming for a little? I just thought this would be a good time to get into it. I had a great aunt and uncle fist fight each other at a wedding. Let me get in the middle of that fight. Any chance this fight was about global warming? Because I just would love to get that conversation rolling, you know?
Okay, so here he's this everyday kind of guy. I guess maybe he personifies what we're all thinking, like, oh, do we really have to talk about it with our friends and family? Grown.
Right. You know, that's the number one thing that climate scientists say to do is to just talk about it. Obviously, you know, do individual actions and, you know, vote and make your voice count in terms of policy. But in terms of other things you can do is just talk about it. And that just seems so far-fetched for thinking, okay, how is me talking about it actually helping the climate crisis. And it does, you know, helps bring awareness. It helps people keep reminding of it.
Yeah, but I think he's also making fun of the sort of weakness of that recommendation, like talking about it. Haven't we moved beyond that? Like, don't we need to do a little bit more than just talking about it with our friends and family?
Yeah, it's also like intelligently talking about it with your friends and family, right? And, you know, it's very complicated when you talk about these big issues because there are other research that show sometimes the facts aren't going to be the thing that appeals to other people because they're basing it more out of emotion. So just, you know, sticking someone with all the facts about something isn't necessarily going to help.
Does it matter which audience they're trying to appeal to? I'm imagining that Nate has a different audience than Michelle.
And that's also why I really liked his bit, right? Because, you know, you kind of get this with John Oliver, I think, too, right? And he acknowledges this. He says he's like preaching to the choir, right? Michelle Wolf also probably has an audience who's already on board for her, which is why she doesn't need to explain why climate change is real. Nate, on the other hand, I feel like he does appeal to probably a wider audience. And, you know, I think his bit can be construed in two ways. It can be like, you know, for people who they can identify with the struggle of trying to do this with their friends and family. Then you also have people on the other side who are like, yeah, you know, climate change is not worth talking about. But at the end of the day, he's talking about it and he's doing exactly what the climate scientists say, which is one of the number one things that you can do. So to me,
very meta.
Exactly. And I think that's just a very smart joke.
Okay. And here's one for the youngs, because the younger generation is probably more in tune with climate change than the older generation, because they're really going to have to face it. Here's Joel Kim Booster's Netflix special, Psychosexual. Here's a clip from that. And to set this one up, he's been talking to a couple in the audience about their relationship.
Do you think you guys want to have kids someday? You do? Oh, interesting. So you don't believe in climate change. Wild. Wow. What an interesting way to learn that. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Good luck to your kids. But no, listen, for real, I don't believe that overpopulation is the major issue at play here. I do think that if you want to have kids, you should have kids. But I do think that if you are having kids, knowing everything we know about the way the world is going, it is sort of like when you're at a party that you know is dying down. You know, and then you get a text from a friend and they're like, hey, should I still come to the party? And you're like, yeah, jump in that Uber, girl. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure there will be ice still at the party by the time you get here. When what you should be doing is calling them immediately, being like, don't come here. Somebody has put on a podcast. Party is over.
I love how he just kind of, I don't know, subtly slides in the we're all gonna die idea that we should not be having kids because everything is going to end very soon. So I guess you can laugh at that at the end of the world.
Well, what I really like about this bit is he does highlight one of the biggest questions on potential young parents' minds is, should we have kids given, you know, climate change, carbon footprint, et cetera? And I think that's also one thing when people think about climate change and what their individual actions are going to be, they think they have to sacrifice a lot of things. And one of the most important things they have to sacrifice is having a family at all, or having a large family or whatever it might be. So yes, reducing kids can influence your carbon footprint, but some researchers would say that's not the largest possible thing that you can do. I don't know. Did I just talk in circles?
No, not at all. I get it, that it's not the worst thing you can do. It's not the best thing you can do. It's not the worst thing you can do.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, it's also about just the guilt of having your children experience extreme weather that we don't even know what that's going to look like, really. And we're seeing it now in the beginnings of it, but it could be a lot worse. And I think a lot of potential parents are thinking, why would I subject my children to that?
Right. And that's kind of the bigger issue that he talks about. And, you know, hopefully if we do meet our goals of reducing our global temperatures, if we limit that, you know, we want to say 1.5 degrees Celsius, it might be 2 degrees Celsius or whatever it may be, you know, it will get a little bit worse in terms of extreme weather and things before it starts to get better.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot now because you're a comedian. What's your best climate change joke?
Oh, my gosh. Climate change, I will say. So I specialize in science-themed comedy. I joke about everything, but I like writing about science. And climate change is one of the hardest things to write about, which is why I admire all the comedians who did it here. But one of a quick joke for the audience is my comedy career is a lot like climate change. It's pretty unbelievable, even though there's evidence of it occurring all around us. So...
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Tip your server. All right. Kasia Patel covers climate change and the environment at the Washington Post, where she writes their Hidden Planet column. And she's also a stand-up comedian. Kasia, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
The testy relationship between President Biden and Mexican President Lopez Obrador.
Biden is sort of old school decorous, like believes, I think, in kind of traditional diplomacy and almost different. He's a nationalist. He's super focused on Mexico and he's stubborn and he thinks he knows what's best.
What can come out of the Three Amigos summit next on Press Play.